I don't think we've seen the same from Todd Carney. But
the NRL has insisted that they want to see proof that he's rehabilitated. Todd hasn't, as I understand, done any counselling or education programs, so that's what's holding him back.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Dino. We'll speak next week.
Right, look forward to it. Thanks, man.
There he is, Dean Bulldog Richie, with all the latest in rugby league. We're going to take a break now. The news is chasing us. Just a repeat of those scores from the World Cup. It is Sweden beaten by England 2-0, and Croatia beat Russia 4-3 on penalties after being 1-1 at 90 minutes and 2-2 after 120 minutes. After the news, our legend of the game, can you believe it? The great Ray Rabbits Warren.
I'm Sarah Wombe. Brazilian police have arrested Mario Marcelo Santoro in connection with the death of Cecilia Haddad in Sydney. The Associated Press says the Rio de Janeiro Police Department arrested Mr. Santoro today. He was arrested one day after police searched his home in Rio de Janeiro, as well as the homes of his parents and relatives. The arrest warrant was issued on Thursday. Mr. Santoro flew back to his native country, Brazil, the same late April weekend. The 38-year-old Brazilian mining executive's fully clothed body was found in Lane Cove River. There are concerns Mr. Santoro will never be extradited to Australia to face charges because of Brazilian laws and customs. Speaking at the LNP's annual convention in Brisbane, Malcolm Turnbull has told the party faithful the LNP is the party of aspiration compared with Labor's party of grievance. Mr. Turnbull focused his comments mostly on federal issues, taking aim at opposition leader Bill Shorten. Mr. Turnbull accused Mr. Shorten of being weak ahead of the Super Saturday by-elections on July 28, but Labor's National Party President Wayne Swan has hit back, saying Mr. Turnbull and his government is only focused on the wealthy.
These tax cuts are designed for people who live in wealthy electorates.
A girl has died and a woman and a boy are in critical condition following a collision in Melbourne. Police were told a Ford Territory was travelling along Hopkins Road when it overtook a Honda SUV and collided head-on with a Ford Focus about midnight on Saturday. A 10-year-old girl who had been travelling in the Focus died at the scene, while the female driver and a young boy were taken to hospital with life-threatening injuries. A male passenger suffered serious injuries. The male driver of the Ford Territory was also taken to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, but the five occupants in the Honda SUV, which was also hit by the car, were not hurt. Also in news, the 86-year-old woman driving the car that reversed into and killed a 6-year-old girl in a car park on the Sunshine Coast will be charged with dangerous driving causing death. And overnight, repair works continued after a high-pressure gas main in Sydney's CBD was ruptured by an excavator working on the Sydney Metro Rail project. Overseas, the death toll from flooding and landslides in Japan has risen to at least 51, with more rain expected in the coming days. The BBC's Joanna Jolly has more.
The intense rainfall in the western region of Japan's main island, Honshu, has been described as historic by the country's meteorological agency, who have urged the public to be vigilant against landslides, rising rivers and strong winds. 50,000 police officers, firefighters and members of the defence forces have been deployed in search and rescue operations. Among the dead are those who've fallen into or been swept away by fast-flowing rivers and canals. A number of people have also been injured by mudslides.
And British Prime Minister Theresa May secured a cabinet agreement for her plans to leave the European Union, overcoming rifts among her ministers to win support for a business-friendly proposal aimed at spurring stalled Brexit talks. This is Air News. Croatia will take its place in the World Cup semi-finals after an enthralling game that finished 1-1 after regular time, 2-2 after extra time, and then 4-3 in the penalties. They'll go to Moscow to meet England for a place in the World Cup final after England took a 2-0 win over Sweden earlier. England's Harry Kane says they are feeling confident.
Today was great. We looked composed. We looked like we controlled the game. So, yeah, we just have to go again. We're enjoying it. I know the fans here are enjoying it. Fans back home, I'm sure we'll see some videos tonight of them enjoying it. So we just got to keep doing what we're doing.
Premiership contender Port Adelaide have climbed to second position on the AFL ladder with a comfortable but scrappy 36-point victory over St Kilda. The Powers' 12-14-86 to 7-8-50 win at Adelaide Oval was their fifth on the trot. In the other games, Brisbane beat Carlton by 65 points, Hawthorn defeated the Bulldogs by 63 points, and Melbourne downed Fremantle by 54 points. In the NRL, Canberra beat Canterbury 32-28 at Belmore, 6 points out of the eight at the start of the weekend. The win means the Raiders will stay in ninth and remain a chance of playing football in September. And West Coast Fever have come from behind to beat the Sunshine Coast Lightning to move further clear on top of the Super Netball table after a 59-58 win. Australian Independence Radio News.
The most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Grigio by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Bowl it off these holidays at Zone Bowling with an original fun pass, 2 games, shoe hire and 10 arcade bucks for only $22.90 per person. Search Zone Bowling. In Waverley, there's been a crash on Bondi Road at Paul Street. It's affecting eastbound traffic. A couple of breakdowns to look out for. One in Engadine, a truck broken down northbound on Heathcote Road approaching New Illawarra Road. And in Carlingford, a bus has broken down southbound on Pennant Hills Road at Lloyds Avenue. The Freedom Now or Never clearance has just been extended, so it's your last chance to get up to 50% off end-of-range furniture and homewares. Hurry into Freedom. You've only got till Sunday, so it's now or never. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, have you seen the latest fridges at Bingley?
Tell me, Lionel.
Speed chilling, giant touchscreens, digital smarts.
What would that think of next?
A bonus Bingley gift card worth up to $400 when you buy a fridge at Bingley.
Amazing.
I thought of that myself.
Amazing.
Get a bonus gift card worth up to $400 when you buy a fridge right now at Bingley.
Excludes bar fridges, ASCO and Miele. See bingley.com.au for details.
Enter your yearlings for the Inglis 2019 Yearling Sales Series and chase the greatest rewards. Inglis's 2018 Sales Series had the highest clearance rate and the greatest average. Enter online or download an entry form now. Entries close August 3. Go to inglis.com.au.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their SafeLine window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Mostly sunny, winds westerly 20 to 30 kilometres an hour. Although, surf conditions may be more powerful than they appear and are expected to be hazardous for coastal activities such as rock fishing and swimming, so just be careful on that one. A maximum of 17 degrees and sunny. Now, what about at Granville, Raymond? And, of course, they're running up there at Grafton today as well.
Yes, Granville currently 11 degrees, heading for a top of 16 degrees. Sunny day in Sydney. Grafton, South Grafton Cup Day today. Jimmy launches the Grafton Cup Carnival. Currently it's 12 degrees, heading for a top of 21 degrees.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It's the final hour. We've got our legend of the game very shortly. That is Ray Rabbits Warren. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. World Cup update with Phil Moss as well. And just on that, we've got to go through some scores. And we do that for our great friends out there at Panthers Penrith. Remember, it's Fiji Friday. Your chance to score one of 16 holidays for two to Fiji. Of course, you've got to be a member. It only costs $5 to do that. You can score a ticket into the draw straight away. And you can earn an extra ticket by getting in there and saying...
Don't go there. Don't.
Okay. The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, we listen to that program, you can say. Or
that's
you can
okay.
say, hi,
okay.
I'm Ray Thomas. remember, you can sign up at panthers.com.au. The Storm 52, the Dragons 30, an incredible game on Thursday night. Outstanding performance by the Panthers. Doesn't it work well when the sponsors' team's going well? 36 points to 4 over the Warriors. The Raiders, incredible win last night, 32 points to 28 over the Bulldogs. England 2-0 over Sweden. And it was Croatia and Russia in the other quarterfinal, and Croatia through to the semi-final 4-3 on penalties. As a result of that, the semi-finals for the 2018 Soccer World Cup, or Football World Cup, France v. Belgium, England v. Croatia. We'll get a winner out of those very shortly from Phil Moss, who is our football expert. Those scores brought to you by Panthers. Remember, if you want to go to Fiji, you can do that. Heading out to Panthers on a Friday, you can win holidays for two to Fiji all the way up to the end of July. Make sure you remember to do that, and you can go online at panthers.com.au. 1353 is the open line number. Our legend of the game is the great Ray Rabbits Warren. Of course, he's been the voice of rugby league for such a long period of time. And on Wednesday night, we'll call his. We're thinking...
No, I did check it. It's his 90th. Coming up. Yeah.
90th.
Can you remember the
State of Origin
Cup?
Match? Oh, I've seen a lot of vision of the AMCO Cup on YouTube and stuff like that. Yeah.
Rab's calling on Channel 10 for the AMCO Cup. It was huge when it started. We had football on Wednesday nights. We begged our father to stay up and watch it. It was great. So that's how long I can remember it.
And that's how long he has been the voice of the game. And it's great to have him on the line. He's there. I think he's preparing himself for a big State of Origin game on Wednesday.
Just think of that, 90 State of Origins Wednesday night. That is a tremendous night.
G'day, Ray. You there, Ray?
I think we might have him now. Hey, Ray, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Terrific. Thanks for joining us, mate. We were just saying it's remarkable to think it's coming up to 90 State of Origins, and I guess it's probably gone by in a blink, Ray.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it's a fairly big blink by the same token, you know. But, yeah, I joined up with Darryl Eastlake back in 89, and Wednesday night will be number 90 for me. But I guess the end is not that far away. I've got to be realistic.
Well, let's go back to the beginning, Ray. As a kid growing up in Junee, broadcasting, how did that become a focal point for you? Because what I understand, it was from a very early age.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good story, and a lot of people will go shock horror when I tell them that it all started with my father babysitting me. I was sick at the time, and he was babysitting me, but he loved to have a punt on the horses, a shilling or sixpence on a horse, and I was sick in bed, and he let me have a bet in the 1949 Derby. So I chose to back a fella called George Moore, a horse trained by Tommy Smith.
Wow.
And the horse was a maiden called Playboy. And ironically, it won. And from there on, he basically let me have sixpence on a horse every weekend. And I joined in with him and Mum listening to the races of a Saturday and the great Ken Howard. And suddenly I became fascinated and finally possessed or obsessed, I think is the word, with Ken Howard. And I think I was probably 7 or 8 when I thought, this is what I want to do in life. I really want to be like this man that's calling the horses. And I converted that into rolling marbles down a slope and calling them as horses. And that was how I trained myself to firstly call races. And then, of course, I branched out and started calling all sorts of things.
Yeah. Well, Ray, what's more difficult, calling horse races, calling Melbourne Cups, which you've done, or calling State of Origins, test matches, grand finals?
I don't think there's anything more difficult than doing a Melbourne Cup. I did 3 in the early 80s, but it was more difficult for me because I wasn't doing much race calling, so I'd had a very skinny preparation. Yeah. I'd never been to Flemington in my life. If somebody said, is there something you'd like to have over again, I'd probably say, yeah, I'd love to go back and call those Melbourne Cups again. I mean, don't get me wrong, I got through them okay, but I could have done a better job than I did. Greyhounds, they came as a shock to me because I was thrust into the job, and I had no desire to call Greyhounds, but suddenly television has become colour television as opposed to black and white. And I'd never called greyhound racing in my life. So I found that was very difficult. The major difference, of course, you can remember horse colours and it pays to remember. But with dog colours, you've got to get them into your head for the race and then get them out of your head for the next race.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. But then to compare it with State of Origin... I find State of Origin nerve-wracking because there's such high expectations from the network for high ratings and what have you, but you also are aware that there's a massive audience in Australia and you're going out to other parts of the world these days.
Mm. Do you have a particular preparation for a big game like Origin 3 this Wednesday night?
No, not really, mate. I do more research. I mean, I'm doing this game here today between the Titans and Brisbane, and I will spend probably an hour and a half on that. But with Origin, I'd probably spend a couple of days just getting my head across a few things to the point that I write everything down. I'm not into computers. I write everything down, and that helps me to remember things without having to refer to notes if I can. Mm-hmm. So that's about the only difference. I mean, my job is pretty simple. I'm there basically to relay the thoughts that are going through my mind and the excitement that I'm feeling and leave the finer points, leave that to your co-commentators. I mean, they're the best in the world that I work with. People like Phil Gould and Peter Sterling, Paul Vorton, Wally Lewis, Darren Lockyer, Andrew Johns and Brad Fittler. If you've got those blokes sitting next to you, people don't want to know what you think. They want to know what they think. So my job is just to call the action, you know.
Well, you do that brilliantly and have done for many years. Ray, it's probably an impossible question for you to answer, but what makes Origin so compelling? To me, it's a... It may be biased being a rugby league fan. It's the greatest rivalry in sport. It's each and every year, they're compelling contests, they're close contests. What is it about Origin?
Well, I think it comes back to the rivalry between New South Wales and Queensland, which has always been very, very high. I won't say that I don't like the word hatred, but there's been a dislike between New South Wales and Queensland, which starts somewhere around about the Tweed River, I think. But, I think it goes back to the old interstate series where what people don't understand, younger people, the leagues clubs in Sydney, they bought up all the good Queensland players and they went to Sydney, these players, and they joined the St. George's and what have you.
Mm.
And they were then... They were made to play for New South Wales against their own, against Queensland. And the score lines were embarrassing to the point that they took the game away from the cricket ground and they transferred it to places like Leichhardt. And then I think they took it to Newcastle.
Yeah.
And it became an embarrassment. And then it became humiliating to the point that Senator Ron McAuliffe sat down with Kevin Humphreys and said, look, this has just got to stop, otherwise we're not going to have an interstate series. But that's the edge that Queensland have got on New South Wales. They remember the humiliation and the embarrassment, and they use it, I'm sure, every year. And that's why we get tied up in this compulsion.
It's fantastic, isn't it? I want to take you back to when you first started broadcasting, and that was at the great 2LF, Lambing Flat, out there in Young in New South Wales, which was the radio station I grew up listening to as a kid. It didn't come about easily, did it, Ray? It was testimony to how much work you did in putting yourself forward to organisations to become a broadcaster. And I think that's a great lesson for people now who, you know, a lot of people have been, you were inspired by Ken Howard, a lot of people have been inspired by you, but there's a fair bit of hard work that goes with it.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, that dream that I talked about was hatched. It was manifested back when I was 6, 7, and 8. But then from there on, keep in mind I'm in Junee. I got a mother and father who've got no idea what I'm talking about when I say I want to be a sports commentator. And there's no radio station. There's no racetrack. There's nothing really. And I sit up in trees and pretend I'm Alan McGilvray, and I think I'm Frank Hyde or John O'Reilly, and that's the sort of thing I did. But after I left school at 14, I became an apprentice fitter, and then I became a police cadet, and then I became a police constable, and I had a lot of jobs. I was selling insurance, I was driving taxis, God knows what I wasn't doing, but you know, it's not something you just walk into. And eventually when I came to Sydney as a police cadet, I was 17 and I took an audition tape to Garth Carey at 2GB, and he listened to it, and you wouldn't believe what he said. He said to me, "Why are you trying to sound like Ken Howard?" And I said, "Well, he's my idol, and I thought he was the best, and I thought I should sound like the best." And he said, "No, no, 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 no. He said, we want something original," and he gave me some very good advice right there and then. So I went back to the drawing table, and I left him with a tape about 12 months later, and it wasn't until 6 years later that 2LF Young rang me and asked me, did I still want to be a sports commentator?
Wow. Gee. And how did the gig with the AMCO Cup come about? And without using a cliche, Ray, was that the big break?
Oh, I think so. You know, keep in mind, I came to Sydney in 69 as an understudy to Ken Howard, which, again, that was the dream coming true.
Yeah.
Understudy to him and John Tapp. And one day, Brian Surtees took sick at the football, and they sent me to the cricket ground to call football, which they knew I'd done back at Young when I was calling Mark Cup football, rugby league.
Yeah.
And so it all expanded from there. Yeah. And then in 1973, the back end of 73, Colin McLennan was the promoter, and he said, "The Rugby League want you to call the AMCO Cup. It's a new midweek competition starting next year on Channel 10. And then the hiccup that created was the Channel 10 said, "Oh, we want one of our own people calling the AMCO Cup." And so eventually I started off doing AMCO Cup on a dual basis with Kerry Buckridge.
That's right.
And that went for a little while, and then I finished up doing it on my own. Mm. Yeah, so that's what happened. But the AMCO Cup was a break, well, not so much the big break, but it was a break into television.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that up until then, all I'd ever wanted to do was work on the radio. Mm.
Back to Origin, Ray, is there a moment, is there a memory in particular that stands out for you from the near 40 years and 30 years that you've been calling it?
Yeah, well, Origin's 30 years, but I've been getting paid to broadcast now for 51 years, so it's a long career. But Origin, you know, I'm not allowed to forget the Mark Coyne try, where I think I finished up saying that's not a try, it's a miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite funnily, only about 3 years ago, I used that expression to describe something again, and Gus took a text message on his phone because he's very close friends with Mark Coyne. And it was Mark Coyne sending a text to Gus, and He said, tell the old fella not to call any other try a miracle other than mine. And I broke into laughter for no, well, the viewers didn't know what I was laughing at, but that's exactly what happened. So I can't forget that. I can't forget Billy Slater. I think he was offside, by the way, but there's a Darren Lockyer kick.
Yeah.
I think it's 2004. Billy regathers, kicks again, and scores a try. They were two outstanding moments, but there's that many of them. I can't remember them that well at all.
Ray, what about, I guess, comparing footballs is like comparing racehorses. There's no right or wrong answer to it, but the great players and, indeed, the greatest player you've called.
I'd say Wally Lewis. And I base that on the theory that he dominated Origin. I think he won 8 Man of the Match awards or something like that. But he dominated at the hardest brand of rugby league for 10 years. And I think that is enough to rate him as number one. Keep in mind, I didn't see John Roper, even though my brother played with him. At Newtown many years ago, back in the late 50s, early 60s. But Frank Hyde always said John Roper. He didn't even hesitate. I've seen some fabulous footballers, though. You know, Langlands and Fulton. And, of course, Andrew Johns and Jonathan Thurston. And I'm a bit sad when I think about the fact that Billy Slater's about to retire. Not just from rep football. I think he'll call it quits at the end of the year. But I've enjoyed calling Billy Slater, very much so.
Ray, it's just incredible, the great memories that come flooding back when we speak to you. And I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of the listeners as well. We could do it for hours. We've got commercial considerations here. It's been our pleasure to have you on. Good luck with the call today, and we'll all be riveted to listen to your call of your 90th State of Origin game on Wednesday night.
Well, thank you. It's nice to talk to both of you and, of course, make a reappearance on an old radio station that I used to work
exactly.
on.
Yeah, absolutely. Was it the breakfast show from 9 till 12?
I was doing 9 till 12, right, but I don't think I did the research that I do. I do on football these days. I think I did my research maybe in the toilet just before the 9 o'clock time signal went through.
Well, I think Tanya used to work with her then, and now she's still guiding us through somehow. I don't know how she does it, Ray, but she helps us. So that's amazing.
Tanya, your wife, Ray.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I know her and a young man called Stephen Hurston. I drove them mad, actually, but. Particularly.
Oh, she's nodding her head, actually. She heard that.
Stephen, he would go to a lot of effort to prepare for a show, and by the time I'd stuffed it up, I think he was looking for a Bex powder and a lie down.
I think we do that to Tanya and our producer Steve every Sunday morning as well, Ray. But hey, look, Ray, it's been great talking to you. As Jimmy said, best of luck Wednesday night, and we'll all be listening, Ray.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, mate.
The legendary Ray Warren there. State of Origin, it's on again this Wednesday night. You can watch it on the Channel 9 network. Game kickoff around about 8 o'clock. If he's not a living legend of Australia,
he's a living legend.
It should be acknowledged as such. 1353 53, the Opal Line number. We'll take a break and then we'll be back with a sports update.
Tune in to Racing HQ every morning on Sky Sports Radio. On Monday, Sean Cosgrove talks to the weekend's newsmakers. Plus, there's horses to follow from our form analysts. Racing HQ, Monday morning on Sky Sports Radio. Sky Sports Radio.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications and Rosehill trainer Gerald Ryan invite you to consider our flashy colt by exciting new sire, Verrazano, the champion son of champion sire, More Than Ready. From Let's Get Famous, dam of Group 3 winner Let's Make a Deal, and daughter of champion mare, Let's Elope. Shares in our dynamic Verrazano colt, trained by Gerald Ryan, are only $5,625. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
For more grunt, talk and comfort, go and see the man. White man, come here from the sun. Penrith Mazda are the BT50 experts. With the BT50 XT 4x4 manual now $39,990, drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 youths on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD18808.
Enter your yearlings for the Inglis 2019 Yearling Sales Series and chase the greatest rewards. Inglis's 2018 Sales Series had the highest clearance rate and the greatest average. Enter online or download an entry form now. Entries close August 3. Go to inglis.com.au. Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
England has reached the World Cup semi-final for the first time since Italia 90, and do the math, that's 28 years ago, defeating Sweden overnight 2-0, where they'll play Croatia, who beat the home side Russia this morning. The Croatians bouncing back from a late extra-time equaliser to win the penalty shootout 4-3. In the other semi, as we know, France will take on Belgium. A miserable day for the Australians at Wimbledon, with all five knocked out in the third round. Probably our best chance, Nick Kyrgios, went down to Keeney Shikori in straight sets. Alex de Minaur, Matt Ebden, Ash Barty and Daria Gavrilova all lost. World number one and top seed Simona Halep fell to world number 48, Hsieh-Hsu Hui, opening the door perhaps further to Serena Williams to claim a record-equalling 24th slam. Rafael Nadal, Juan Martín Del Potro and Milos Raonic advanced to the last 16, but Alexander Zverev was beaten by a Latvian qualifier. Blake Austin played for just 16 minutes for Canberra last night in the match against the Bulldogs at Belmore, but managed to spur the team on to turn things around, and in the dying stages, the Raiders scored 3 tries in 6 minutes to snatch a 32-28 win and stay in 9th spot. Just the one match today, the Gold Coast and Brisbane at Cbus Super Stadium, that's at 4:10. Meantime, Todd Carney is off to Hull KR to resurrect his playing career, joining former Kangaroos coach Tim Sheen. The Waratahs scored 12 tries, their most ever in Super Rugby, to thrash the Sunwolves last night at Allianz Stadium 77-25. The Tars put on 34 unanswered points in just 19 minutes. The Brumbies are out of finals contention. They went down to the Chiefs 42-24. It's the first time the ACT franchise hasn't been in the finals since 2012. In other results, the Hurricanes 42 beat the Blues 24, the Bulls 43, the Jaguars 34, and the Storm 26 to the Sharks 16. Brisbane recorded its biggest win in 6 years, defeating fellow cellar dwellers Carlton 120-55 in the AFL match at the Gabba. Port Adelaide jumped into second spot after a 30-point win over St Kilda. Hawthorn 122 smashed the Western Bulldogs 59, and Melbourne easily beat Fremantle. Jessica Fox has added a 5th canoe slalom World Cup gold medal to her cabinet after smashing the field in the World Cup event in Germany, recording a time 6 seconds ahead of her closest opponent. Chris Froome's pursuit of a record-tying 5th Tour de France title has begun. The full peloton of 176 riders split between 22 teams got rolling overnight for the mostly flat 201-kilometre stage, which was taken out by Fernando Gaviria. Qualifying for race 2 in the supercar around in Townsville today begins at 11:30. Jamie Wincup certainly has an affinity with the track. He won yesterday's race, taking his victory tally in North Queensland to 10 wins. And Lewis Hamilton became emotional while the crowd chanted his name during an interview after claiming pole for his home Grand Prix, the British F1 at Silverstone. Dan Ricciardo will start from 6th. Serena Williams' boys put out a tweet. She was upset because while she was out training, her daughter Olympia took her first steps.
Oh, yeah.
She said, she took her first steps. I was training and I missed it. I cried. Poor Serena. Mm. Yeah, it's pretty sad. Nevertheless, Olympia has her own Instagram account. And she was asked at a press conference, you know, why she had given her such a public profile.
Mm.
So, given that, you know, most of the other players keep their families out of the spotlight. And Serena's comment was, I mean, it's 2018. I'm still modern.
Oh, gee.
Okay.
There you go.
Still with Wimbledon. Now, the men's final and the World Cup, the Soccer World Cup or the Football World Cup will clash.
Yeah, they will.
The Wimbledon, they knew this 18 months ago, but they weren't sure about the times, how that would all go.
What happens if England make the final?
Well, that's the thing.
This is the thing. There are no screens showing any of the matches there, and officials were asked before the tournament if that was going to be the case, and they said there is more going on than the World Cup. This is Wimbledon.
Oh, yes. I can imagine that being. Yeah, I can imagine them saying that. Yeah.
So the BBC are the ones in a bit of a flurry at the moment because they are the rights holders, and so they have all their main things on BBC One. But for the first time in the history of the universe, they're going to have to switch Wimbledon to BBC Two. So the men's final starts at 2 o'clock and the World Cup final starts at 4. So they'll start off with it on BBC One, then they'll have to move it to BBC Two. Yeah. So, it's a bit of a quandary. Yeah.
You know, I saw on Twitter that there was a journalist from the UK who took a photo of all the major freeways in England at the time of their penalty shootout with Colombia. There was not a car on there.
What a great shot.
Fascinating.
Isn't it? Aren't they passionate? We all love our sport, I know, but the crowds and of all the teams are so passionate.
And just quickly saying about that, the atmosphere at Wimbledon overnight was electric, as you can imagine, because England had won. And during a game between Carl Edmund and Novak Djokovic, the crowd, spurred on by England's win, was so behind Kyle to a point where in the press conference afterwards, Novak complained about it, saying that they were just so far over the top. He was affected by it in some way.
Doesn't complain much.
No, he doesn't. No. Pretty good.
There you go. Thank you, Tan. Yes, fascinating sports update there from Tanya. We do appreciate that. By the way, we're still having some nominees coming in for our late bloomer. This is Justin via Twitter. Jeff Lloyd had a stroke aged 54 and 2 years later has never ridden better and winning premierships.
Good point.
So that's a good one. And Andrew via SMS has sent in late bloomer, the Cronulla Sharks. 50 years to win their first premiership, of course, did it in 2016. We were just talking about the World Cup. We've seen two incredible games this morning. England 2-0 over Sweden, and then heartbreakingly for the host nation, Russia, they are out, beaten by Croatia 4-3 on penalties. To go through all of this is our football expert, Phil Moss, who joins us on the line now. G'day, Mossy.
Very good morning, guys. How are we?
And I'll tell you what, us England supporters, Mossy, we're pretty excited by that. And the fact that Harry Kane didn't score, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. To take your point, Jimmy, the load has to be shared a little bit for teams that are going to go all the way. And I've said before, Harry Kane is not your Maradona or your Pele or your Zidane. With all due respect, he's not the type that can carry his team through a World Cup and lift the trophy on his own shoulders, but he's certainly a key figure in that from the point of view of him scoring goals, and also his leadership has been absolutely outstanding, I have to say. And I think one of the key successes to England has really been that partnership between coach and captain. Gareth Southgate, the way he carried himself, the way he's turned that team into a bunch of human beings and a team rather than a squad of superstars and players who think they're above the norm, I think has been outstanding. And I think that aligns perfectly with the way Harry Kane is as a person off the field. I've seen some interviews with him and he just comes across as such a humble guy. And even when he's banging the goals in, it's all about the team, not himself. Yeah.
Now, well said. Well, on that theme then, Phil, after the four quarterfinal matches, which team has impressed you most? And because there's a strong belief this might be Belgium's year.
Yeah, well, Ray, this is pat yourself on the back, Tom.
Here we go.
I did happen to tip Belgium before the World Cup started as my roughie. Yep. But, jokes aside, I honestly think that, it's not now, when for Belgium. Mm. They've got great momentum. I also thought they would get over the top of Brazil the other night, and there's a couple of reasons for that I'll go into in a second. But I just think they're so well balanced. They've got a fantastic goalkeeper. They've got experience at the back in Vincent Kompany. They've got a fantastic midfield. And Roberto Martinez showed the other night that tactically he is up to it. And the tweaks that he made And this was interesting about, you know, Sweden last night. If you compare Sweden to Belgium, you know, Sweden really sat deep and tried to hit England on the counter-attack. But you can't do that if everyone is sitting deep and you haven't got your outlet in transition to attack. Belgium did that brilliantly with pushing De Bruyne further forward, Lukaku out onto the right, and Eden Hazard. So when the defensive block won the ball, they had bodies to hit straight away in transition. That's what caused Brazil so many problems. It was on the fringes of their defensive structure that Belgium really, really hurt them. And they looked dangerous going forward, and they've got the pace and the power of Lukaku, who's been a fantastic platform for them. So I really think this is Belgium's time. And, you know, look, it's not going to be easy getting over the top of France, but... you know, who would have thought they would have got over the top of Brazil?
Just before we get to your preview of England v Croatia, the thing that struck me about that penalty shootout during the course of the week with Colombia and England, I love the fact, and it goes back to your point about Harry Kane, captain of the side comes up and says, right, I'll take the first one. How do you decide an order in which to take? Is it your best penalty taker goes first and then you go from there?
Generally, Jimmy, you ask, and I've been in that situation as an assistant coach in big games, A-League semi-finals, grand finals. Generally, you ask the players to nominate who wants to take one and then what number they want to take. And then you step in, obviously, as a coach or a head coach if you think there's... you know, there's something wrong with the takers or the order. But I'm with you 100%, and I said this on air the other day about Harry Kane, the way he led during that Colombia game, and I mean during general play as well, when the pressure was on, he drew a foul just to take to release the pressure valve a little bit. He stepped up, took the penalty with so much confidence. And when you see a leader doing things like that, everyone else follows. And, I think he's been absolutely spot on during this tournament. And don't forget that the monkey that lifted off the back by winning that penalty shootout after so many heartbreaking experiences, you know, really can give a team like England so much confidence going forward. But what I will say is, if they perform like they did last night, which I thought was very lethargic, I thought it was a poor game of football. And look, so, I guess some of the blame has to be apportioned to Sweden and the tactics they deployed during the game. It was very much a stifling performance from them. But certainly, it won't be a case of it's coming home. It'll be a case of they're going home empty-handed if England don't step up in the semi-final.
Well, Croatia, I didn't see a lot of the Russia-Croatia quarter-final. I saw a fair bit of the second half, and what I saw, Croatia were dominating play, and they probably could have scored a couple of times, a couple of real near misses. Who wins, Croatia v England, Phil?
Yeah, look, it was a high-octane game, that one, Ray. A lot more so than the England-Sweden game, but I think Russia came out of the blocks quicker than Croatia. Croatia clawed the way back in the second half and dominated possession, and rightly so they went through. It's a shame the fairy tale's over for Russia, because when the host nation goes out, it's always a little bit of a dampener on a tournament. But, look, I honestly believe England can get over the top of Croatia. I think Croatia have probably got... they've got more individual quality in key areas, but I think England are really playing like a team. Gareth Southgate has really got them believing, which is outstanding. And Croatia, in some ways, are spurred on by trying to beat that class of 98. But in other ways, they'll probably feel the burden of that a little bit, because they're so close. The 98 generation, obviously, with the likes of Davor Šuker and Boban, you know, they got to the semi-final. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go, but I've got a sneaking suspicion England will get over the top of them, and it'll be a Belgium-England final.
Wow.
Okay, there you go. $3 for Belgium to defeat France, $2.50 France, $3.10 the draw. England, $2.30, the favourites to defeat Croatia, $3.20, and the draw, $3.10. And, of course, that's all at tab.com.au. And just very quickly, France, $3, England, $3.50, Belgium, $3.75, Croatia, $5 to win the tournament. You're looking at England... Belgium, and you're probably going to say Belgium, given the fact you tipped them prior to the tournament.
Oh, I can't desert them now, Jimmy boy. It's been a great ride getting on the back of them, and I want Lukaku to finish with a golden boot, so he needs a couple of goals on the way.
Okay, there you go. And just quickly in big news, Sydney FC, this is disappointment. Adrian and Babo, Aussie Bob, big losses for the squad going forward.
Yes, they are, definitely. And, you know, Bobby obviously is a massive loss with the 27 goals he scored last season. He just triggered another year on his marquee deal. But, you know, Bobby certainly went around it the right way. He was very humble in his dealings with the club. The club tried everything to keep him and Adrian, of course. Adrian, that was disappointing. You know, he's only served 1 year of a 3-year contract. So I'm not quite privy to what went on behind the scenes with his departure, but I do know for sure and certain Sydney FC tried everything that they could to keep both of them. But it gives Stevie Corriker a chance to recruit his own and put his stamp on the squad. He's got, I think, four foreign positions to fill now and a fair bit of money in the kitty. So Stevie will be working hard with the staff, Wilfred Tallet, Terry McFlynn, to search the world high and low for another two quality imports.
Mm. Hey, Phil, could one of those imports potentially be Torres?
Yeah, look, I've seen his name bandied around, Ray, and look, why not? You know, as long as his motivations for coming to the A-League, if that's where he wants to come, are true, and it's about winning and not coming here for a holiday, then what a fantastic name. And that's someone who would put bums on seats. You know, no one really heard of Bobo when he came here, but he ended up putting bums on seats because he was scoring goals for fun. So you either start with a smaller name and they perform, or you start with a massive name and then they have to perform to the level that we expect of them.
Mm. Why aren't you in the studio today?
Am I allowed to say I'm on my way to Fox Sports News?
Certainly can.
He's
in demand, Jimmy.
I did offer Steve to come in this morning, as he will attest, but I was pushed aside for some bloke called Ray Warren. I'm not sure. you may have heard of him, you may not, but no, what a fantastic interview that was, guys. Congratulations. I was enthralled in that. What a legend of Australian sport.
You could listen all day, couldn't you? You could literally listen all day. Fantastic. As for you, we're going to wind you up right now.
You can't. Hey, Phil, been great having you, mate.
Good on you, guys. Have a great day.
Good on you, Phil.
We are mates. Can we just confirm that?
I hope you are. Because you do give it to the poor guy.
No,
he makes himself available every time.
I love him. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
It's a huge week coming up for the Big Sports Breakfast. Tuesday through Thursday, the show is live from Brisbane. Not a stone will be left unturned. So join TK and Loz for unsurpassed coverage of Origin 3 right here on Sky Sports Radio.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications and Rosehill trainer Gerald Ryan invite you to consider our flashy colt by exciting new sire, Verrazano. The champion son of champion sire, More Than Ready. From Let's Get Famous, dam of Group 3 winner Let's Make a Deal, and daughter of champion mare Let's Elope. Shares in our dynamic Verrazano colt, trained by Gerald Ryan, are only $5,625. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
For more grunt, talk and comfort, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda are the BT50 experts. With the BT50 XT 4x4 manual, now $39,990, drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 youths on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD18808.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Getting a lot of positive thoughts around the chat with Ray Warren, and understandably so. Even the great caller, this comes in from H. Mm. Even the great caller, when thinking of the state of origin, can only remember the brilliant plays and players of Queensland. Go the Maroons.
Were you surprised you said Wally?
The point about it is, you know, Andrew Johns came back and had that outstanding series in 2005, two games where he won the series for New South Wales. Wally did it for a decade.
That was the key, wasn't
it? Yes, it
like
was.
Like, Thurston's been fantastic. Well, Johns has been fantastic. But yeah. Wally Lewis was Origin for 10 years.
And the theatre of Wally. Oh. I used to love Wally Lewis. Yeah. Almost as much as I love Trent Lanscar from tab.com.au.
Oh, gee.
Now,
Trent thinks of that.
Yeah. Hey, Trent, I'll tell you what, I went down to Melbourne during the course of the week. I saw the the hashtag rebuilding Carlton Blues in the airport down at Melbourne. And I get up to Sydney and I see, if he couldn't walk down the streets of Melbourne, but there was Joel Selwood just walking around at Sydney Airport.
Probably enjoyed it, yeah.
No one probably knew who he was. G'day, mate.
Good morning to you, Jimmy and Ray, and that's the way it is. Just he probably would have waltzed around on a care in the world, and I think that's what attracted a lot of players that were in Melbourne. I always think of Tony Lockett and Barry Hall when the Swans, obviously, they have their core following, just like down here with the Melbourne Storm, but there are probably enough players where they can get around and wouldn't be too troubled. But if you're a member of, well, one of the nine metropolitan teams down here and Geelong's further out, then, yes, you probably would get much more pestered if you were walking around town.
It's religion down there. Hey, Trent, what have we got this afternoon? We've got a couple of big games this afternoon. What is the price of the Broncos v Titans?
Well, you've got Gold Coast $2.15 and Brisbane $1.72, and the line is 2.5. About 70% of the money is for the Broncos. That's the 4:10 game at Cbus Super Stadium. Fellas, you were right last week. You believe the Titans could cause the upset against West Tigers. Are they going to win their third in a row and keep that winning streak going against Brisbane?
Load up again.
We're both on that train again.
Yeah. Do it responsibly, of course. I give them a great hope. All right, let's go to the AFL. North Melbourne v the Gold Coast. They've still got a side up there, haven't they?
They do, fellas.
They haven't transferred it to Tasmania yet.
A couple of big games later on, though.
You've jumped one, fellas. I was going to mention Origin 3.
Oh!
Far away, Trent. Far away.
Sorry, yeah.
Just do the one game for the day, then Origin 3 on Wednesday night, because you got this spot on 2 weeks ago. You had New South Wales winning, but you had Queensland keeping it just close enough.
Yep.
Queensland at $2.30, New South Wales $1.65. The line is 2.5. Head-to-head, there's barely anything in it from a money perspective. Queensland 52%, New South Wales 48%. Expect a little bit of bias, but you're hoping New South Wales can do the whitewash.
1-12.
13+.
Really?
Yep.
Nah, 1-12.
New South Wales 1-12 at the end of normal time, 2.60, and 13+ $3.75.
Okay. I'll go with that. Now apparently there's some AFL on with the Gold Coast still having their side, hasn't been transferred to Tasmania yet.
Oh, I'll tell you what, it'd be a close run between Gold Coast and Carlton at the moment.
Oh, don't do that to me.
Oh, dear. North Melbourne, $1.07. Gold Coast, $9.50. The line is 48.5. 95% of the money is on North Melbourne to win. They should just do it pretty easily, fellas. But that's more to do with how many players the Suns have got, which aren't too many at the moment. That's the early game at Etihad Stadium, 1:10. This will be bigger, though, although the weather is expected to be terrible. 3:20 at the MCG. Essendon, $2.35. Collingwood, $1.62. The line is 8.5. I'm just favouring Essendon, fellas, on the basis that they have been able to get themselves back on track in the last 6 weeks. How they lost to Carlton, I'll never know. But Collingwood have a lot of injuries at the moment, and perhaps they're due for a loss. I know that sportsmen and sportswomen don't like that, but perhaps Collingwood, they've been up for a while. And then the 4:40 game at Optus Stadium, West Coast are $1.55, GWS $2.50. The line there is 13.5, and Ray, just detecting from that, West Coast have got a lot of injury concerns as
all
well.
The Giants
have found form. They beat a strong side last week in Hawthorn, and I reckon they'll make it 5 in a row.
Oh,
I reckon the Giants can beat West Coast. Aside from that, fellas, Australia, they're in a final of a T20 series against Pakistan in Zimbabwe. 6 o'clock tonight, and the Aussies $1.62. Middle Sunday at Wimbledon, so no matches. Serena Williams, $2.75 to win the women's title, and Roger Federer, $1.85 for the men's title. And you've just touched on the World Cup there. A couple of rest days. France against Belgium, Wednesday, 4 o'clock in the morning, and Croatia against England, Thursday morning at 4 o'clock. So there is a lot happening. Just a couple of extra nights of sleep will be all right. But you can check out those markets and plenty more at tab.com.au.
Great job, Trent. We do appreciate it. Trent Lenscale there from tab.com.au.
Fiji Friday at Panthers. Penrith gives you the chance to score one of 16 holidays for two to Fiji. Naturally, though, Jimmy, you've got to be a member. So what are you waiting for? Join today for just $5 and score a ticket into the draw straight away. Then earn one ticket a day just by swiping, plus additional tickets when you purchase food and drinks and when you mention the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend at the Members Centre. Panthers Penrith, home to 11 restaurants, 7 bars, live entertainment and Fiji Friday right through July. Sign up today at panthers.com.au.
Great job, Roman. Has Trent got a price on a Storm Roosters grand final? That's from Percy. Not at the moment. Market suspended because we're in the middle of a round, but at the end of this round, Trent, Percy, go and have a check that out. You can do it at tab.com.au. au. Time now to have a chat to Scotty Foster, who, by the way, Raymond, has been selling vehicles all round the Hunter as a result of this program and delivered the car during the week, which was described by the recipient as a service outstanding.
Well, tell us more, Scotty. Good morning.
Good morning, boys. Yeah, a victory for the show and for our little section of a Sunday. Yeah, Simon Nagel, I actually met him through Jimmy at the Big Sports Breakfast Luncheon. And well, in case the listeners don't know, like, we also source cars. Like, Simon wanted a particular vehicle. I went out and found it for him, and he was very happy, and we delivered it up to him during the week, and he loved it. So hoping to do it a few more times with him.
I told you he's got plenty of dough. I hope you charged him full freight.
No, well, that's what I said, mate. We did it nice and cheap this time, and we'll keep doing it again and again so we get more of it.
That's why Scotty's the best in the business.
Very good. Righto, what do you got for the listeners this week, mate?
Today we have got an outstanding 2008 Ford Territory 7-seat wagon with only 89,000 kilometres. This is a one owner in immaculate condition, and it comes with logbooks and full service history. It's a beautiful light grey in colour and standard with air conditioning, power steering, dual front airbags, ABS brakes, traction control, dynamic stability control, power windows, power side mirrors and a trip computer. But this one's also fitted with the colour-coded bumpers, reverse sensors, roof racks, a tow pack, and of course it has the third row of seats to make this a very desirable family wagon. So this is a 7-seat Ford Territory with only 89,000 kilometres with full service history, and we're selling it, and hopefully today to one lucky listener, for just $7,990.
Oh.
And I guarantee you'll not find a car of this calibre for this price anywhere. So go to the website, www.fosterqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-75024. And don't forget to mention Sky Sports Radio to receive this unbelievable price, but also a free 3-year warranty.
Yeah, great deal. And you can help with finance as well, Scotty.
We certainly can, Ray. So don't worry if you need finance for this car or any of our cars. We have access to a number of lenders, and this allows us to get the best possible rates. It also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. Even if you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, new to Australia or on a student visa, we can help you. Just go to our website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-75024 and let us get you driving a car as soon as today.
What's the salary cap for the Intra Super Premiership at Wentworthville? Let's look at the turn that we're running around. Michael Jennings, Kirisomi Alvaa, Will Smith, Kane Evans, Suia Matangi.
It's gone up this weekend.
Not surprised.
The boys, they had to go over to New Zealand, and with the inclusions of those guys, boys were very happy to say we got away with the victory, 30 points to 22, and probably good that the NRL side had the bye, because it allowed us to, or Parramatta, to try and play some boys back in form there, so hopefully it worked.
Yeah. And you wanted a shout-out to Cooper Atkinson, who's son of a mate of yours.
They certainly do. Cooper had some bad news not long ago. He was recently diagnosed with a tumour on his thigh bone. So Coop's had that tumour removed during the week. Mm. His favourite player is Bevan French. And when I told Bevan about it, he turned up at my work. He bought a jersey with him, signed, and just saying, "Cooper, wishing you a speedy recovery." So I took a picture of that and sent it to my mate. And he said, once he showed Cooper, who was in hospital still, he said his attitude just lit up, and he was happy, and it made a world of difference. So I want to thank Bevan French. He didn't have to drop that jersey in, but he knew about Cooper's operation, and he just did it because he wanted to. So he made Coop's recovery so much better.
Yep.
Thank you, Bevan, and thanks to all the NRL players that go to those extra things. I'll go to the extra lengths to do things for people that no one hears about.
Well said, Scotty.
Good on you, Scotty. Well done on that. And all the best, Cooper. Hope the recovery is a quick one. Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
See you, boys. Have a great day.
See you, Scotty.
Scotty Foster there from Foster's Quality Cars. Check them out online, fosterqualitycars.com.au. A quick chance for a call. Let's go to Adrian, who's on the line. G'day, Adrian.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Just to follow up from Ray Warren, and I totally agree with him about Wally Lewis. And the reason being, if you pick the greatest Queensland side ever, Wally would be captain. Cameron Smith would be able to call him more, but Wally would be captain simply because the New South Wales side that Wally terrorised for that decade, they would lap the New South Wales sides of the last 10 or 15 years by 30, 40 points. That was a difference in quality that he faced compared to what Cameron was up against the last 10 or 15 years.
Or Lewis v. Kenny, weren't they great clashes?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the reason. Seriously, those New South Wales sides of the mid-80s to early 90s, honestly, if you put up against the sides of recent, these last decade, you're talking 30, 40 points every game.
Thank you, Adrian. Just can't help but feel I heard that before somewhere. I'm just trying to put my finger on where.
That's right.
It's from Adrian.
But Lewis versus early. Kenny was compelling, wasn't it?
I understand. Yes. Coming up on Racing HQ, Roman Gary Cleese's going to look at today's Grafton program. John Scorse previews Nowra. And, of course, the Big Sports Breakfast returns tomorrow morning at 5:30. Now, we've got to get a winner.
Yeah, who wins?
Adam. Mentioned Happy Gilmore and had his say on BJ Leilua. It was a very good call early on.
The show. What's your plans for the day, James?